Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battle space of the war for the free world, really an intelligence briefing about how that war is going at the moment. And it couldn't be more fitting that we start off today's program with a man who has spent a lifetime in and working with, in support of, and monitoring the intelligence community. His name is Dan Gallington. He served as a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Territorial Security, among many other incarnations, including many that dealt with, as I say, oversight of the intelligence community on places like this, the General Counsel of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He most recently has been the program manager of Project Guardian, maintaining civil liberties in the information age at the very highly regarded Potomac Institute for Policy Studies. And today he is a senior policy and program advisor at the George C. Marshall Institute, one of my favorite outfits in Washington as well. Dan, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Frank. Nice to be on your show again. You realize we've known each other for 30 years now.
I can't stand to think how long it's been, Dan. But I treasure the friendship. Thank you for joining me. Listen, I want to pick your brains about a couple of things that you've been writing about. You're a columnist at U.S. News and World Report, and you've argued that with all of this kerfuffle about the government's overreach into our metadata, the big data, as it were, that actually pales in comparison to what we're subjecting ourselves to all the time at the hands of the private sector. Talk a little bit about that and how that's a necessary sort of point of calibration for the debate now underway on what to do about NSA.
Well, imagine you and I, Frank, were talking on our cell phones about I'm buying a new TV sub, and I was talking to you about it. All of a sudden, the guy breaks in and says, you know, Dan, you really should buy your TV sub at Amazon.com because it's got exactly what you want. And, you know, we know you've been looking at it. End of interruption. That's exactly what happens to you when you're on the Internet. I don't care what your service provider is. You're on the Internet, and all of a sudden these windows pop up. And sure enough, it's stuff you've been looking at to buy on one Internet seller or another. Yet no one seems to be at all concerned about the tremendous invasion of our privacy with that, and with absolutely no regulation. There isn't any control on how much information they can collect, how long they can save it, who they sell it to, how long it's available. The recent effort by the government to collect this metadata stuff to allow them to find a needle in the haystack, for example, as you said, you know, really pales in comparison to what we're subject to by the private sector.
And nobody in the Congress, let alone the President of the United States, is demanding that there be statutory changes to restrict such practices by the private sector agencies. And yet there is a speech that is expected from the President, I believe, Friday of this week, in which he is expected to accept some, if not many, of the recommendations of the so-called Independent Review Commission that he selected from a bunch of, it seems, pretty much like-minded guys on the left to tell him what kinds of new restrictions there ought to be imposed on the National Security Agency and, for that matter, some other intelligence collection activities. Talk a little bit about what your view is of the advisability of those restrictions and what you make of the likely presidential direction coming out of it later this week.
Frank, absolutely true. First of all, the uninformed policy opinions are coming from both the left and the right, as you know, with regard to what new limitations we should place on our intelligence agencies. That's, for guys our age, you know, that's sad to see because we remember the Reagan years and how enlightened our national security policies were during those years. The recommendations that the president is likely to accept, I've read the entire report done by his commission. Some are in the okay category. Some are just in the, I would put it, silly category. For example, to extend the Privacy Act to non-U.S. persons overseas is in the silly category. You know, everybody collects information and intelligence. All nations do SIGINT operations. All nations collect information for their national security. And we're no different from that. But for us to put people off limits, out of bounds for collection, is just in the silly category. And I hate to see it.
Yeah, Dan, including affording them privacy rights that have been reserved heretofore to American citizens. I mean, this really seems mad.
Exactly. If anything, we should be going the opposite direction. Right. This whole idea of U.S. persons really, you know, came to us in the 1970s, post-Watergate and Church and Pike conditions. The idea that there was this category of people that should have more rights, U.S. persons. But in today's ubiquitous terrorism that's sometimes even within our own country, you see these people hiding behind the protections they have as U.S. persons and are able to fire and put together, you know, very serious plots against us.
Yeah, so a real hazard.
Yes, it is. And hopefully it's a transitory thing. I tend to look at this in a historical perspective. You know, first with Watergate and the changes, the Church and Pike conditions, then with Iran-Contra, then with 9/11 and the reaction of the country against that. We went way to the opposite direction, and I think a pullback from where we were after 9/11 is perhaps justified, but to pull back and extend privacy rights to foreigners, it's just in the silly category, and it's going to bite us, right?
Well, I, as I say, if it were just silly, I wouldn't be so worried, but I think it's downright dangerous. Dan Gallington is our guest. He is a senior policy and program advisor at the George C. Marshall Institute, a man with long experience in both the conduct and the oversight of intelligence matters. And Dan, you've written, I believe at U.S. News, that in your judgment, the National Security Agency is operating within the law today. There are several proposals as to how to change that law. Again, President Obama may recommend some. Dianne Feinstein, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Ron Wyden, Tom Udall, senators have offered their own thoughts to the president, among others. What is your judgment as to the advisability of the sorts of statutory changes that are being proposed at the moment? If the NSA is within the law today, should we be leaving it alone?
Well, first of all, when you listen to political commentary, it usually is in one of two categories. Remember, Dianne Feinstein was the senator who said, you know, after being on the Intelligence Committee for 10 years and a senior member of the of her House of Congress, saying she knew nothing about the Enhanced Interrogation Program, which is just kind of silly. Of course she knew about it, and of course anybody who's on the Intelligence Committee, all they have to do is ask NSA to come over and talk to them about the programs, and they get full briefings. Anybody in the Congress gets full briefings. So the idea that somehow the NSA was out on its own doing acting willy-nilly is just crazy. Congress has said when it's convenient, oh, I didn't know about that, or oh, we didn't mean to approve that when we passed Section 215, or, you know, I didn't understand what they were doing. That's all political posture, and I think most Americans understand it, but there are probably a few who really believe our Congress when they say they didn't know what was going on. NSA is operating and always has operated within the statutory authority that it has. It's the only intelligence agency that's under oversight by the judicial branch of the FISA court, by the two intelligence committees in the Congress, and also with aggressive oversight mechanisms in the executive department itself. So So a lot of this is just political posturing.
But Dan, as ever, the danger, as you know so well from your time on Capitol Hill, the political posturing can put the country into a very contorted position. And if we're not careful, I'm afraid that may be where the president leaves us. We'll be talking with you more about this, I'm sure, next week. Also, I'm very anxious to get your thoughts on the future of U.S. covert actions after Edward Snowden's leak, another of the subjects you've addressed in your terrific column at U.S. News and World Report. Dan, keep up the good work at the Marshall Institute and U.S. News. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Elaine Donnelly on social engineering in the military and whether it's breaking the all-volunteer force. Straight ahead. We want to know what you think. Leave your comments at 1-800-332-7131.